Okay, so tonight is a hemshech of last week's share. Last week we were looking at the question of Bishul Achar Bishul. We came to the conclusion that there wasn't Bishul Achar last week and the week before. That's the Machlokas and the Rishonim. The conclusion that everybody agreed that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, and then the Machlokas and the Rishonim, whether that's limited to Davar Yavesh or also applies to Davar Lach. So that was the last two Shiurim. Now we want to move it on to the next stage. Let's start by looking at the Urayim. Urayim, important Rishon from Ashkenaz. So anything which has been fully cooked, that's or ne'efa, fully baked. Remember, very important chiluk to make, that in English we just talk about cooking things. Now I'm doing some cooking, so I go into the kitchen, I'm doing some cooking, and that's an all-inclusive term, means I'm going to fry an egg and make some soup and roast some chicken and bake a pie. I'm going to do all those things, and I say I'm cooking. Right, but in Hebrew, I mean, in English, we've got a verb for each of these things. But in Hebrew, the verbs are, at least in this context, much more important. So, v'chol davar shenitbashel, it was cooked, or ne'efa, or baked, or any other type of cooking, as it were. Kol tzorko, lachzirot b'kli rishon l'chamamor, l'chino b'tzad ha'or, mutar. So you can, once this is done, it's been cooked, however we're defining cooked, then you can put it back into a kli rishon to warm it up, provided the kli rishon's not on the eish, or you can put it next to the stove. Shekol davar shenitbashel or naaseh kol tzorko, anything which is fully cooked or taken care of by heat treatment, doesn't sound very appetizing that way, that's ein ba mishum bishul, then you've got no further problem of bishul, ein bishul achar bishul. There's no problem of bishul achar bishul, we know that, we've spent the past 2 weeks talking about that. Aval yesh bishul achar tzli, v'yesh tzli achar bishul. However, if you've done an act of bishul, so you took your chicken, and you threw it into the soup, you put it in water, you boiled it up for an hour and a half, or for 4 hours, however long you boil you make your chicken soup for. And then you take your chicken out, and you put it in the fridge, and then on Shabbat, you want to put it next to the stove, or al-gabe kadeira, whatever it is, on the stove in a permitted way. We'll talk about permitted ways in due course. It's going to get hot again. Then you'd have a problem, because now you're doing a different process to it. Your first process was a process of bishul, and this process is a process of tzliyah, of roasting it, or afiyah, baking it, whatever it is. It's treating it with dry heat rather than with liquid heat, and that will be a problem, because it's a different process. The Tanya Pitzachim Ferit Kol Shah B'Sofo, we've got Gemara Masechet Pitzachim, Tzla'o V'Achakach Bishlo. Now, what about the Korban Pesach? Korban Pesach has to be, we laid it last week, Tzli'eshu Matzot, needs to be roasted. So you roasted it, but then you're a particular person, you don't like roast meat. You only eat boiled meat. That's your Mishigas. So you roasted your Korban Pesach, and then you boiled it. Chayav, then you're chayav for not having eaten the Korban Pesach, or for it being Bashel Mavushal Bamayim. That's an issa to have it Bashel Mavushal Bamayim. Even though it was roast, nevertheless, we're seeing that a subsequent process that, if you like, is Mavatel, the first process, or supersedes the first process, and is as if the first process wasn't there. Umitama Talmuda Amai. Gemara wants to know why should it be a problem. Hatzli Eishu. At the end of the day, it was roasted. It was roasted, and then it was boiled. But it was roasted. Amar Rav Kana, Amani Rabbi Yossi. He says, following Rabbi Yossi, Tanya, Yotzim Baraki Kasharuvim Vushal Shelo Nimoach Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, talking about the matzah, you can have matzah which is sharui, which has been soaked in water to soften it, uvim vushal, or it's even been cooked, so provided it's not falling apart. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Omer, whereas Rabbi Yossi says, yotzim baraki kasharui, you can use a matzah that's been soaked, avalo bim vushal, but you can't use a matzah that's been cooked. Afar pishilinom sholonimach, even though it's not falling apart. Perish gabe matzah lechem kativ, because for matzah, it needs to be lechem. It needs to be not bread, but it needs to have the din of lechem. Ve'enu nikra lechem ela afui v'lo mevushal. It's got the status. It's only got the status of lechem if it's been baked, not if it's been cooked. Uchshe bishlo achar afiyato nikra mevushal. And if you subsequently cook it, then it's got a din of mevushal. D'yish bishlo achar afiyah, because. And it's kind of an interesting lashon here. He's saying it's got a din of mevushal because we've got a principle of bishlo achar afiyah. In truth, he's trying to prove that we've got a din of bishul acharafia because you can't be yotze with the rakika mavushal, with your cooked matzah. The way he's formulating it is, you can't be yotze with your cooked matzah because we've got a principle of bishul acharafia. But it's working both ways in terms of trying to demonstrate that it's bishul acharafia because we know you can't be yotze with a cooked matzah. So the same is going to be true if you roasted your lamb and then cooked it. Because you've got bishul achar tzli. In terms of the next process, if you like, either negates the first process or at least subsumes envelops the first process and is a process of bishul in its own right. For Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Arinam Beiruvin, Halacha Rabbi Yossi, and the Gemara in Beiruvin tells us when we've got Machloket, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, the Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. So that would seem to be how we're paskening. So the Yireim has the view that that whilst the ain bishul achar bishul, nevertheless yesh tzli achar bishul and yesh bishul achar tzli. The leniency is limited to where it's the same form of cooking. That's either dry heat or wet heat or frying or whatever it is. However, this is indeed a machloket rishonim. If we look in the Ravya, the Rav Yah says differently. So he quotes the Yireim, Rabbeinu Eliezer Mimitz, that's the Yireim. We can go right down to the bottom, penultimate line. Vilav Miltehi, because he's just quoted the Yireim. Vilav Miltehi, it's not true. He says disagree. The Hamaiti Leibeferet Ketz HaMavarachin, because we've got this sugya that's in Perek Ketz HaMavarachin about, in Masechet Brachot, the sixth Perek, about things which have been cooked and their form changed, etc. Umaskinan, this very sugya, Umaskinan Adkan Lo Kama Rabbi Yossi El Gabi Matzah. Rabbi Yossi's din is a chiddush. It's a chiddush with matzah, because matzah's not necessarily just a din in it being baked, but it's also a din to ba'inan tam matzah b'fiv, that you need to be able to taste the matzah. For lechem, once you cook it, you're no longer able to taste it. So what the Rav Yah is telling us is that we learn out from the sugi Masechet Brachot, in actual fact, something's mavushal, something's baked, and then subsequently, it becomes the mavushal. That's not a problem in terms of bishul, because that's just a further heat treatment, if you like. It's heat treating it further. The problem with the matzah is not that it's no longer baked. The problem is it just no longer tastes like matzah. It needs to taste like matzah. The same with the korban pesach. Now this whole machloket here might revolve somewhat around the discussion we've had previously in terms of the definition of bishul and the notion of bichlal ein bishul achar bishul, in terms of how we define bishul. Are we defining it as making the thing edible, or are we going to be defining it as really are we masa orientated or totsa orientated? Are we looking at what you're doing, or what you're achieving. If we're looking at what you're achieving, the results, then it might well be here that you're not achieving anything significant in terms of this was edible beforehand and it's edible now. It might be true that, you know, you don't like the taste of boiled chicken. You need to have a sort of a Mexican grill flavour to it, which you could only achieve by, you know, dry cooking it. That's, or some sort of Kedem sauce on top of it. That, but if we're looking at Totsa'a, then it might be that the Totsa'a here is insignificant because it was already edible. If we're looking at the Maase, in terms of what it is you're doing an act of cooking, that's with a small c, that's, which is changing the form of the food. Before it was soft and soggy, and now it's dry and crisp. It was edible before, and it's edible now. But you've done something to change it. You've done an act of treating it with heat, which is changing it. So that could be the background to the machloket between the Yoreim and the Ravya. That, having said that, the Taz, I didn't bring the Taz here, but the Taz suggests it perhaps differently, and the Taz is suggesting perhaps that both are based on Totsa'a, on the result, but you can defend the Yoreim from what the from the challenges of the Ravya, because you can say here also there is a Totsa'a, there is a result. The food is resultantly different. It makes the observation that we saw in Sif Gimel. We saw the discussion as to whether or not the Isser of Bishul was, and our conclusion, whether it's only mitstamek v'yafelo, or whether it's even if it's mitstamek v'ralo. But certainly there was an opinion which appeared in the Ramal, the pseudo Ramal, that's as being that there's only an Issur Bishul where it's mitstamek v'yafelo, where the thing's being improved. If the thing's not being improved, then there's no din of Bishul. So here also, it's true that it was edible beforehand, but if it was boiled and now you're roasting it, so then you're improving it. So this should be no different, even if we say, you know, ein bishul achar bishul and everything. But here, this should be no different to mitstamek v'yafelo. That's if it's mitstamek v'yafelo, if it's improving, so then you're going to have a problem. So how do we paskin? Let's look at the Torah. And the Torah says, "Chatzav Harabenu Eliezer Mitzav Agav Sheim Bishul Achar Bishul B'Davar Yavesh B'Davar Shenefer Nitzle Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul Im Bishlo Achar Kach B'Mashkim." Right, so that's citing the view of the Yoreim. Accordingly, Vasolitein Pat Afilu Toch Kli Sheni Shayat Soledet Bo. You couldn't take bread and put it even into a Kli Sheni which has got hot liquid in it. Now, just hold the fire a little bit on the cliché. We'll come onto the cliché in a couple of minutes' time. But hold off. Don't panic about that yet. Okay. But the point that he's making is that certainly yesh bishul acharafia. Okay. According to the Ravya, and he's saying this is apply even. Sorry, according to the Urea, that, and he's saying it's apply even in a cliché. We'll see a discussion about whether it's apply in a cliché. But he's saying that it would apply in a cliché, which of course would mean that you can't take your bread, your challah on Friday night, and put it into the soup. That's because your chicken soup is probably a cliché. That's, and therefore you can't take the bread and put it into that. That's if you're very posh, of course, and you have a tureen on the table, so you transfer your soup from the saucepan into a tureen, and then you bring it to the table in the tureen, and your maid, port or butler, that's serves it for you. Then, of course, it's going to be a cliché. The question about the ladle. Yeah. Because it's not so posh that the ladle is a cliché or is a cliché, because if you leave it in the soup, then it might assume the din of being a cliché. That's in any event, let's carry on in the Torah. V'tema, The Tor's not so enthusiastic about this uraim. Lama asr a bit klisheni, certainly not keen about ossering it in klisheni. So maybe we're saying that the bread's got the same din of salt, which according to certain daya, it can be cooked in klisheni. We'll understand this momentarily. So the Torah thinks it's fine that you don't need to worry about the klisheni. There's certainly no din of there's no problem of afi achar fia or tzliya achar tzliya, just like there's no problem of bishul achar bishul. So the Tor is bringing this this daya of the Urayim, and we'll see how we use it. Let's actual fact. Let's open our Shulchan Aruch to Shin Yud Chet Seif Dalet. We're just going to do the very first part of Seif Hay. So Shin Yud Chet Seif Hay. Right at the beginning. So yesh mi she'omer, interesting lashon. Yesh mi she'omer. There's a view. The davar she'ne'efal nitzla im bishlo achar kach b'mashke yesh bo mishum bishul. Right. This is the view of the Urayim. That if something which has been roasted, if you cook it afterwards, that you're going to have a problem of bishul. That's okay. Let's hold it there with that mechaber, and we'll continue with the mechaber in a moment in a little bit. Let's just look at the bi'ur halacha. Dibur hamatkel yesh mi she'omer. This will help us understand the question of. If we hold that yesh bishul achar tzliya or vice versa, okay, what is that doing? Is that superseding the first process or adding to the first process? Okay, that's going to be an important question. Yeah, I suggested, you know, both of those as possibilities when we, you know, learned through the Urayim. Let's look at the bi'ur halacha. I'm Mishnah Berurah, do adin to yesh tzliya achar bishul, fine. Fine befrimagadim. So he's now referring us to a primagadim. Shevim ipsachim memal eftelonit batel shein bishul harishon. That you don't lose the status of it being of the first process. It's not been annulled, the first process. It's just been added to. V'holidmi's there. So the primagadim comes to the conclusion. Dumutal ishroto b'chamim b'shabbat. So if I've got something which was mavushal, and then it was subsequently roasted, okay. So if we say yesh sliachar bishul, so I understand that if I now want to put it back on the stove, that would be all right because ain sliachar tzlia. But what if I wanted to put it back inside the chicken soup, in the kli rishon? Would that be permitted or not? Because by roasting it, did I negate the first bishul, or did I just add to the first bishul? Is it still regarded as mavushal or not? So the Prima Gadim says it's still regarded as mavushal, i.e. that I haven't negated, I've just added to it. So the volume is entirely short of becoming Shabbat. So I said sliach har bishul erev Shabbat. If on erev Shabbat I'd done bishul and then sli, kishadav amuvushal like anything else which is mavushal. V'nira who do adin ledidei bevishul achar sli to mutar b'Shabbat lehanicho b'lirotev b'tano, and vice versa is also true.
So you
can
put it in b'lirotev.
Correct. Yeah, that's
so
right.
In other words, that wouldn't be called bishul, that would be called best rub tzli.
No, but that's exactly what we've done. I have the word blurted. That's the point that he's making is that if on Erev Shabbat you've done both bishul and sli to it, then on Shabbat you can redo both of those processes. That shouldn't be a problem. That because it's not losing, you've now just got two processes have been done to it. He's not so sure. It's true that clearly the first status hasn't been negated. Hare shame hasheni bavadai kayam. But in actual fact, you've still got the second shame. That's v'shapi yishlamad mikre ata bishalachat sli. So it might not be as quite as simple as saying, well, it's now mevushal and nitzweh. Right, so I can now do both or either on Shabbat. Might be that it was mevushal and now it's nitzweh. And therefore, if on Shabbat I come and put it back into the the soup, so then I'm negating or superseding or causing problems with the tzli which I've had. Now, theoretically, you could actually come to. You've got three theoretical possibilities. One theoretical possibility is to say that if you did both processes before Shabbat, so on Shabbat itself, you can do either of them. The other possibility is to say, in actual fact, on Shabbat, you could do neither of them. Right? Logically, you could say that on Shabbat, I can now do neither, because it's something which is, if the second process will always be a problem with regard to the first process, so now it's Mevushal and Nitzle before Shabbat, then on Shabbat, maybe I couldn't do either of them. Yeah. Because that's, I can't do Bishul because of the, it's still got the status of Sli. And maybe I can't do Sli because it's still got the status of Bishul. That's, because Maskana is not like that. So the Maskana is that you can repeat the last one. Whatever was the last one, you can, you can repeat.
So that's very Maisa oriented. Because otherwise it doesn't make sense, because if it's already Mavushal and he agrees that the Shame Rishon is still Kayam, as in it's still got a Shame Mavushal, so then who cares if it's Bishalach Asli, as in it has to be a Din and the Maisa according to this Behalach, seemingly.
I don't understand.
As in, I don't understand, because as in if this food, he acknowledges that it's still got the Shame Bishal, as in if it's a food that's been cooked and then fried, so it's still got Shame Bishal, it's just the Shame Sli is also Kayam. So if you do Bishal again
on Shabbat,
right. So then he's saying it might be a problem of Bishal Achad Sli,
right?
Even though it's already got a Shame Bishal,
correct.
So therefore, you have to say this has to be a Maisa oriented din.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Because that, otherwise, if it's the Tutsar is it's already got a Shame Bishal on it. So who cares?
Well, not necessarily, because you know it could always be that you know the last thing that you do to it is going to define what type of thing this is.
But he was masking that the Shame Bishul is Kayam, as in the first
Shame. I see what you're saying. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, fine, I'm with you, yeah.
Let's clarify that Siach HaShvi is definitely Mutter.
Correct.
Yeah, and it's the same as Bishul Achar Bishul.
Exactly, yeah.
What are all opinions?
As far as I'm aware. I mean, Rabbeinu Peretz makes a suggestion that maybe it isn't, but the talk comes to the conclusion that it is, and it's... It doesn't make any sense logically to say that it shouldn't be.
Okay.
You know, logically, it's compelling that if ain't Bishul Achar Bishul, so ain't Sli Achar Sli. That's okay. That's right. Let's give some thought now to Klisheni, because this is coming up here. We saw in the Tur, okay, that he said according to the Yoreim, and this is in the Yoreim, that. Working on the assumption that Yesh Bishul Achar Afiyah, that's going to apply even in Klisheni. So that would seem to indicate to us at this stage, till we go back a bit, that the Din of Bishul applies equally in Kli Rishon equally in Klisheni as it does to Kli Rishon. Let's get some clarity on that, though. Look at the Gemara on Daf Mem. That's which I just took out the relevant lines and put on the daf here. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Pam achat nichnasti achar Rebbi lebeit hamerchatz. Once went into the bathhouse behind Rebbi. Vikashti Lahaniach lo pach shel shemen bambati. He wanted me to pour a jug of water into the, a jug of oil into his bath. He wanted bath lotion or whatever it was, bubble bath or something of that nature into his bath. Va'amar li, he said to me, tol bikli sheni, v'ten. So you can't pour it straight into the bath, but take hot water out of the bath in a klisheni, and then you can put the oil into that klisheni. So shma mina tlat, from that episode, we were able to come to three conclusions. Shma mina shemen yishbo mishum bishul. So number one, there's a notion of bishul with shemen. We don't need to discuss that now. We can discuss it. We'll touch on it again in the future. Ushmamina klisheni enum avashel. That's number two. That's clearly the fact that I can put it into a klisheni means that there's no bishul in a klisheni. Ushmamina hashirozo bishulo. The shear of bishul for oil is just sort of warming it up somewhat. It doesn't need to be piping hot. It doesn't need to be 100 degrees. It's, getting it to a tepid or lukewarm. That's temperature is bishul as far as shemen is concerned. Now, the first thing we need to understand is, why is there no bishul in klisheni? Bearing in mind that we've established that for bishul, it doesn't always need to be al ha'esh. That's in terms of you've got the kli rishon, you take it off the esh, it's still a kli rishon, you put something into it, you're going to be chayav. That it's the same water that you're using in the kli sheni. I've got my kli sheni at rishon al ha'esh, I scoop out water from it and put it into a cup. I scoop out water in a cup, right? So I'll pour from the kli rishon into a cup. It's exactly the same water. Why are we saying when it's moved from the kli rishon into the kli sheni, there's no longer bishul? So the very famous Tosfot. Tosfot there on Daf Mem. Let's look at the Tosfot. V'shmamina kli sheni nimavashel. Tema maishna kli sheni mit kli rishon. That's where I got the question from. Not my question. What's the difference between the two? Dinyad soledet. If we're interested in the temperature of the water, after klisheni nami, then it should make no difference. Kli rishon klisheni. You take water from you've got water in a kli rishon. You take it off the stove. It's 100 degrees. Right. You leave it standing there for 5 minutes. It's going to be maybe 99 degrees. Don't know what. It's still going to be very very hot. I pour it into the klisheni, then it's going to be 95 degrees, 90 degrees. But it's still, in terms of not, it's not going to be even by your own feel, it's not going to be noticeably any different. So we'll call it the same temperature. I'm recognizing the fact that scientifically, empirically, it's going to be a little cooler, but not in any significant fashion. So why do I not have a problem with bishul in klisheni, according to this Gemara, when I do in Kli Rishon? V'yein Yad Soledet, and if it's cooled down so much that it's not Yad Soledet, I feel Kli Rishon nami einu mevashel, then even in Kli Rishon it's not Bishul. So why have we got this difference? V'yeish loma nefishet Kli Rishon mitoch she'amad al ha'ur. Kli Rishon, it's been standing there on the fire. The walls of the keli that have absorbed heat from the heat source, from the fire. So it's not just, you haven't just heated up the water, but you've heated up the keli as well. That's umachazik chomos man meruba. And the water, or the keli, will retain its heat for a long time, because it's going to take a long time for that water to cool down, because it's got nothing to, anybody who's a scientist will be able to, explain to us the thermodynamics, exactly, but you've got no transfer of heat. That's the heat from the water has got nowhere to go to other than to sort of slowly evaporate. That's on the kach nat nu bo shiel to kolz man shayyad soledet bo aso. Aval kli sheine, the kli sheine, aval kaf to yad soledet bo, even though it's piping hot, mutar shein daf notav chamin v'holechu mitkare. Once, as soon as you pour it into the kli sheine, it automatically starts cooling off because the cold keli that you've got that you're pouring it into is going to absorb heat, and some of the heat is going to transfer from the liquid into the sides of the keli that you've got. And this, as an aside, so we touched on it the other week, and we'll revisit it again. But you know, we had a little bit of a discussion about, you know, mentioned this notion, I think, of if it's davar gush. Okay, according to the Marshal and to other possibly, you've got davar gush, something which is a solid lump. You've got a baked potato, right? You bake potato, you take it out of the oven, you put it on a plate. According to some poskim, it's still a kli rishon. Why? Because is this lump on the plate? It's only touching the plate, a very small area of it, so very little heat has been drawn out of the potato. Right? As opposed to a liquid which spreads out, and the whole kli draws out the heat from the liquid.
Rebbe was sitting in a bath on Shabbos.
Okay, the Gemara goes on to ask how that was happening. But that's not a. We'll probably get to that in a year or two. That's.
But the water was obviously warm.
Yeah, yeah. It was piping hot. Yeah, that's. And there's the Gemara also asks, how could they discuss Torah in the bathhouse and all such things? So that's not our Indian for now. Shabbos afternoon shit. That's. In any event, Tosfot's helping us understand the difference between the Kli Rishon and the Kli Sheni. Essentially, in a Kli Rishon, the thing will carry on cooking for a while, because it'll still be absorbing heat from the from the walls of the keli. As opposed to in a Kli Sheni, that heat has disappeared. And therefore it won't be cooking any longer, and it's actually be cooling off at a much faster rate. I know in the mornings, if I'm in a hurry, as I've poured myself, my cup of tea, and it hasn't, I don't like drinking it when it's very hot. So after 5 minutes, I pour it into a cliche. People see me during the week. They say, "You're so frum." Even during the week you use kli shlishi. I've already made it, so I've made this in the kli sheni. But that's because I want it to cool off a bit more. So my wife always says, "Just add some cold water to it." I like to think of kli sheni as well and halachic issues at the same time. So it works because you pour it into another keli, so it. It cools down. So that, yeah.
To clarify, so the reason why Shane is okay is because the walls of the second keli take away the heat from the water.
Yeah.
Or because there's nothing retaining the heat. It's
different. Well, I think it's both, and different. They're different formulations of the same thing. But I think the critical distinction is that whilst it's in a kli rishon, the cooking process will continue, whereas once it's in the kli sheni, the cooking process is being reversed, as it were. That's in terms of the thing is cooling down rather than either retaining or increasing its heat. So there are different formulations as to whether it's increasing or retaining, but the point is in the kli sheni, it's the heat is being drawn away from it. Now, so thus far, on the one hand, it seems in the tour, that's quoting the Urayim, there was a problem of Bishul in a kli sheni, because he said you couldn't put the bread into a kli sheni. On the other hand, we saw a Gemara Mefuresh that says there's no Bishul in kli sheni. Tosfot explains why there's no Bishul in kli sheni. So we're still going to have a bit of a problem. Why is it that the Urayim is presenting us with a difficulty? Now there's Tosfot on Lamed Tet. That's the Gemara we've seen the past couple of weeks. We've we've got that Gemara, and that was, you know, the Kol Sheh Baba Chamin in Me'er Shabbat, anything which was immersed in Chamin before Shabbat. So we said that you can be shoreit in Chamin on Shabbat, and we said that anything which hadn't been immersed in hot water or cooked on before Shabbat, we said medichin, you can rinse it in hot water, but not that you could immerse it. So Tosfot wants to try and understand what medichin are we talking about. Are we talking about medichin from a kli rishon? Right, but if we're talking about medichin from a kli rishon, then we've got a problem, because iru kli rishon we assume is, or we might well assume is the same din of a kli rishon. So that would be problematic. So how are we going to deal with it? If we say it's iru from kli sheni, then why do we need to be hadacha from kli sheni? Kli sheni is not mevashel. So how can you have something that all I'm allowed to do is pour from kli sheni onto it and not immerse it in kli sheni? We've got a principle that kli sheni is not mevashel. That's the question that Tosfot is asking. That's why is it that we say you have to pour from kli sheni and you can't immerse it in kli sheni? So Tosfot gives us couple of answers. So let's go for Omer Re, about four or five lines up from the bottom. Omer Re, I feel a bit klisheni ain shorin. That so you can't immerse it in a klisheni. Dahoel dahamayim chamin michsekim avashel. This is very important. Seeing as the water in the klisheni is piping hot, in hachiname, it's not bishul, because ain bishul bit klisheni. But nevertheless, it's mechseikim of ashel. It looks like you're doing bishul. There's an appearance of bishul. Or to formulate it in a different way, we would say that it's bishul midrabanan. In terms of midoraita, there's no bishul here. It's not bishul. That's, and really in terms of even midrabanan, it's not bishul. It's just we've got an outside consideration, that's an extraneous consideration, that somebody seeing you do this will think that it's bishul, and therefore you're not allowed to do it. So whether we could regard that as some sort of marita ayin, that's be interesting, you know, to consider the lomdas here in terms of whether this is a dinim marita ayin or a dinim bishul. That's, but in any event, what Tosfot's suggesting to us is that it's a problem of bishul that's not midoraita, but it's a problem of mechseikim of ashel, and therefore it's prohibited midrabanan to do this. Midoraita, there's no problem. Midrabanan, there is a problem of bishul in a klisheni. Even though we're going to, again, we'll deal with this in a couple of weeks' time, that you can put into a cliche, you can put spices. That's spices where there's no concern of mechseikim of ashel. So that's the first answer that Tosfot gives us, that really, midin bishul, it wouldn't be a problem to put it to take this kulias haispanin or whatever it was, this thing which hasn't been cooked, not the kulias haispanin, but anything which is the chicken which hasn't been cooked on erev Shabbat, and to put it into a klisheni. But we don't allow it because of mechseikim of ashel. Inami, who adin shorin oto? The other possibility is actually you are allowed to put it into the klisheni. Kevin Darabit klisheni. Vahadanakat madichin. So why doesn't the Mishnah tell you can do that? The Mishnah only says you can rinse it off. Lashmi'inan da'afilu hadacha havia gmam lacha that should be b'miliach hayashan v'kul yaseh ispanin. That sometimes hadacha, with certain types of foods, even hadacha can be a problem. Because we said that, sorry?
Rinsing.
Yeah, rinsing in warm water. That's that we learned in the first year on bishul. That's things which are very easily cooked, then there can be a problem even in even with hadacha, even with irui pouring from a klisheni. But immersing it in the klisheni is not a problem. So now what we've got is essentially two opinions in Tosfot as to whether or not there's an Issur Bishul in Klisheni. That's, everybody agrees that Midoraita, there's no problem of Bishul in Klisheni. We've got a Machlokes as to whether or not there's an Issur because of Mechsei Kemavashel. And two opinions there in the Tosfot. So that's really important. Now let's go back to Shulchan Aruch, and we're going to have a far better understanding of what's going on. Let's take Se'if Hay from the beginning. So Yesh Mishomer D'Davar Shenef Ha'onitzle Im Bishlo Achar Kach B'Mashke Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul. So this is the Yireim, that something which was roasted or baked, so achala, right, after, if there's still a problem of bishul acharafia, therefore vasolitain pat, you can't put bread, afilu bit klisheni shayad soledet, or into a klisheni if it's yad soledet, because if it's not yad soledet, it's not going to be a problem, won't be a problem even in the kli rishon. V'yesh matirin, and there are those who permit it. Now, the question is, how do we understand the Yesh Matirin? Okay. Yesh Matirin, there could be two ways of understanding it. One way could be to understand it, which we'll see is probably the way that Rama understands it, and certainly the way the Mishnah Berurah understand it, is Yesh Matirin, that you can put it into a klisheni. Meaning that we agree that Yesh Bishul Acharafia, but we don't agree that there's bishul in a klisheni. So we're accepting the premise of the Yireim, yesh bishul acharafia. And in terms of the Tosfot on Lamed Tet, we're following the second view rather than the first view. We're accepting the second view that there's no din of bishul in a klisheni. That's, no, because the Rav Yah said, ein bishul acharafia. Right? So what I'm saying is that the way the Mishnah Berurah understands it, let's just look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan, Mem Bet and Mem Gimel. That's only Tain Pat, or Sif Bazeh, we need to just read the first words of the Rav, Yesh Matirin, Haga, Bit Klisheni. Right, in a klisheni, yesh matirin in a klisheni. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. V'asol yitain pat, osif bazeh, dinacher, v'atam disriel el yidei azu, v'yesh tvarim shem mitbashlim afilu b'klisheni. Some things can even be cooked in a klisheni, v'tain shem rakim, v'ein anu b'kiim. We don't know exactly what things. So everybody agrees, not everything can be cooked in a klisheni, but certain things can be. V'alkein osif le'asol yitain pat ha'afui, duhu rakich, baked bread is very soft. So I feel a bit cliche, you can't put it into. You shouldn't put other things into a cliche either. The Yesh Matirin bit cliche, Svira Lahu, the Ain cliche in Vashel, Bashum Davar, that there's no din of Bishul in cliche. Right, so that's one way to understand the Machaber. The other way to understand the Machaber, which is the way Rav Ovadia understands it, I've brought you here on the second page from Yalkut Yosef, but it's quoted verbatim from Yechavedat Chelek Bet, which I could have equally as well brought, that is to read it slightly differently. The Yesh Matirin, and there are those who say, no, it's not a problem because ain't Bishul Acharafia. So there are those who say, we're following the Rav Yah. We're following the Rav Yah, and then, actually, I don't know what we think in terms of cliche. It might be that at this junction, the Mechaber is following the first day in the Tosfot. That it could be that the Mechaber will hold that there's an Issur of Bishul in Klisheni because of Mechsei Kemavashel. It's just that's not relevant in the case of Bishul Acharafia. That's in the case of Bishul, there is no Bishul Acharafia. Once it's gone through the first cooking small c process, then there's no Issur of a subsequent cooking process. Even if that subsequent cooking process is a different mode or genre of cooking. So what we've got is a machloket in the Achronim as to what the shita here is of the Machaber. Right? In terms of Rav Avadi, he's saying the sheet of the Mechaber is the Taim Bishul Acharafia. Whereas many other Achronim, particularly amongst the Ashkenazi Achronim, understand the sheet of the Mechaber is that, yes, Yesh Bishul Acharafia, that's, but not in a cliche name. That's, and essentially there's a discussion as to, you know, whether the Rama is explain, and you, not infrequently do you get this, question with the Rama. Is the Rama explaining the Mechaber or arguing against the Mechaber? Okay? And you can read this with Rama in either way. You can read it as Rav Avadia would want us to read it. V'yesh matirin, there are those who say that it's not a problem whatsoever because ein bishul achar afia. And then the Rama is saying, no, bit clichéni, because actually there is bishul achar afia, but we're not worried about the clichéni. That all we can learn is the way the Mishnah Berurah learns it here, as that v'yesh matirin in a clichéni, and the Rama is just, you know, just clarifying that point, that's what the Mechaber is saying. So the Maisa Rav Avadia says that there's no problem with Bishul Acharafia. He's quite happy for you to take your challah and put it into your chicken soup, even in the Kli Rishon if you want. That's, I mean, I don't think people put it into the Kli Rishon, but it shouldn't be a problem putting it into the Kli Rishon, because Ein Bishul Achar Afia. Let's see how Ashkenazim are going to deal with this. So let's read through the Rama. V'yesh matirin b'kli sheni, v'yesh mekilin afilu b'kli rishon. Right, so what's this? Going according to the Rama, and certainly the way the Mishnah Berurah, I mean, the pashtus of the Rama, it's clear what the Rama is saying. The Rama is saying that there is a din of Bishul Achar Afia, right? But Yesh Matirin B'Kli Sheni, because they're going to accept the second view in Tosfot, that there's no Issur on Bishul in a Kli Sheni, that's because we don't worry about Mechsekim of Ashel. And then the Yesh Makinin Afilu B'Kli Rishon, not because they don't hold there's the Din of Bishul and Kli Rishon, of course we hold there's the Din of Bishul and Kli Rishon, but because maybe they hold, some people hold like the Rav Yah, the same Bishul Achar Bishul. So lechatchila, we're careful. Shelol itein pata afilu b'kli sheni, not to put the bread in, even in a kli sheni. That's because we're kosheish to the rav, to the yireim, and to the first day in Tosfot. Kozman shayad solet it. If it's yad solet it. Let's just look at the Mishnah Berurah. That's Right, so Sivkatan Mem Dalad. So the Yesh Mekilin Afil B'Kli Rishon Sviru Dein Shak Shein Bishul Achar Afiyat Shliya V'Adin Lehefech, i.e. the Rav Yah. V'Nagu Lizaher
Perish... So he doesn't know that way.
Yes, he does. V'Adin Lehefech. Just as there's... That's... No, he's saying that this day, Afil B'Kli, he's just explaining that day in the Ramah, which is the Rav Yah, that there's no Bishul Achar Afiyah, and there's no Afiyah Achar Bishul.
Oh, I see,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
V'nagu lizaher, Sivkata Memhei, V'nagu lizaher, Peirush, She'en notnim lechem b'marak shalat cholent, B'kara, she'i klisheni. So you can't put your bread into your cholent. Kol she'ken she'izaher, she'lol aroth alehem ikli rishon. You can't pour from a kli rishon onto your bread. Now, some people, they chop up their onions on Shabbat morning. We'll get on to Tochein again in about a year's time. But you've chopped them up in a mutter way. And then you put them into your soup on Shabbat morning. You can't put the onions in until the soup's cooled down. At least with the bread, you've got a bit of a kula that at least some Rishonim say it's not a problem because it's that the Rav Yah says it's not a problem because it's mavusha, it's afui already. Vein bishulach harafia. Vafili yachin in his harim b'klisheni. That's so. We're still machmir, you know, if possible in klisheni. But salim shitzakli zahek he ain't anu b'kim b'midi demikrei rakich. And with the Batsalim, certainly you need to be careful of a problem of Bishul in Klisheni, because we're not sure exactly what something which is soft is, what's considered soft, and therefore there's Bishul in Klisheni, following the first day of the Tosfot. The Chanal, the Kol Shekein, the Fim Ashenoagin, the Tein HaBatsalim, the Tokha Tavshil. That's, and in actual fact, it might be that with Davar Rakik, it might be some people hold that even in Klisheni, there's an Isur Bishul, possibly min haTorah even. That's conceivably, if it's something which is what we call Kaleh HaBishul, we'll come on to. That's, the Kol Shekein Lefi Ma Shenoagin Nitein HaBatsalim Tokha Tavshil Shu Davar Gush, Bavadai Yesh Lishaseh Bazeh, certainly if it's a cholent which has got the Dinu Davar Gush, Yesh Poskim Shesorim Davar Gush, Shem Nachbet Klisheini, Dinu Kli Rishon. Because as we said before, that there are those who say it's got still the din of a, of a kli rishon. That's okay. That's right. Aaron, you wanted to ask a question.
Two things. One, I suppose we haven't really dealt with it, so maybe we have. Can you defrost bread on a hot plate on Shabbos? And two, can you toast regular temperature bread on
a hot plate? Okay, so defrosting bread on the hot plate, I think we touched on it last week, actually. That's, I think you weren't here. That's, that's, the problem there is that you've got the ice crystals, which water. Is water which right. has not That's been cooked previously.
Right.
And you put it on the hot plate, and then you've got a problem with those ice crystals, the bishul. That's
Bishul.
Yeah, that's so you're going to have to, you know, they say you should let the challah defrost a bit, let the ice crystals defrost, and then take a towel, whatever, and mop them up, and then you can put it on the hot plate, because it's not, that's not an issue of Bishul Achar Bishul, that's, you know, straightforward Bishul. That's toasting it is a bit
from
of a
regular temperature.
Okay, so that's a machloket in the Achronim. That's if I recall correctly, Rav Avadya says the chatchila to be machmer. There's a machloket in the Achronim, but that's more to do with the question of whether you've got makeb patish here with ochlin. That's so you know you've now turned it into something else, which might be a bit of a question. So that's a discussion there in the Achronim. Now, so in any event, we've got a few important. I'm just looking here for the argument. You're safe. That's all to see. So some say you can't. Others say it's not a problem with market partish. Certainly not bishul because there's no baking after baking. So it could, you know, there is a tzad of chashash of isur chatat. So the din is not like that. But the person wants to be machmir tavo alav bracha. Then it's interesting. Vim ayam mechamem et hamatz biyom tuf. You're heating up your matz. You want to freshen it up a bit. On Yom Tov, Achsa Bahaish catches fire. Mutal Chabotah, you can blow it out. Shu Kibul Tzarech Ochel Nafish Mamash. Okay, that's because generally speaking, kibui on Yom Tov is prohibited. But if it's for the sorech of the food, that's the whole question. You can turn down the gas a bit. You know, you're making, I don't know, an omelette, right? So your gas is on high, and you want to turn it down so the omelette doesn't get burnt. You can turn it down because it's sorech ochel nefesh. Here, you know, there's no better sorech ochel nefesh than, you know, extinguishing the fire so that you can eat the matzah rather than it being burnt up. Okay, now, so this is, you know, important in a number of connections. So that's, you know, sometimes you, the correct practice for Ashkenazim, okay, is certainly, although there's not with Sfardim, whether we say like Rav Ovadia's interpretation or not. So whether we say the Yesh Matirin means that we're not holding with the Urayim, or whether we say it's we're not holding with the first answer in Tosfot, either way, the Yesh Matirin is going to mean that minimally you can put it into a klisheni. You can certainly put it into a klisheni according to the Machaber. Right? The only question is whether you can put it into a Kli Rishon. Kli Sheni, you can certainly put it into as far as the Mechaber is concerned. That's particularly Rav Avadia, approaching from a different perspective, points out that the first, whenever you've got two Yesh, Yesh Omrims, you'll follow the second one. And here it's, the first one is a Yesh Misha Omer, as opposed to a Yesh Matirin. Yesh Misha Omer, there's one day. Yesh Matirin is we've got more days like that. So that's working on the assumption we'll be following the second day. So for Sfardim, having to put into a Kli Sheni won't be a problem. Rav Avadia says to put into a Kli Rishon isn't going to be a problem either. That's Ashkenazim, Lechatchila, should be strict. So, you know, the question comes, you know, sometimes, you know, at the Shabbat table, whatever, somebody's, you know, your kids are putting matzah into their soup or whatever it is, something like that. So, you know, or your guests are, you know, so you don't need to sort of, you know, snatch the challah out of their hands. They're putting their challah into the soup. It's not the end of the world. It's nagula lisahe lachat chila. You know, a person who's just becoming shomer Shabbat, and they're getting distressed over so many things. You know, and one of the things at least they enjoy doing is, you know, crumbling the matzah into the soup. No, leave them be. You know, that's let them learn a bit more before you before you tell them not to.
So it's kind of like, to Rav Avadia, there's a room to say that you can even dip challah into soup on the hot plate, on the...
Yeah, but nobody would do that. Not al ha'esh. Not once al ha'esh.
Say with the Kli Rishon.
No, but it still needs to be not on the esh. Not on the esh. That's...
Would you have a sniffle hakao to say the ladle is a Kli Sheni and therefore the soup is really a Kli Shlishi?
Maybe. There was a bit mashmal like that. If you look in the Mishnah Brura... No, love to ask you. Maybe they just took the cup and scooped out just like that. You can't bring a proof from that. The Mishnah Brura says, though. If you look at the Mishnah Brura towards the end of Sivkatan Memhei, that he says. That's Oshel Chola Pachot Yishav Bekaf Min HaKadera Kedei Shetiye HaKara Kli Shlishi. Okay, so that would indicate that, yeah, so using the ladle will turn the bowl into a Kli Shlishi, in which case, apart from, you know, the Chashash of the Aruch HaShulchan that we I mentioned last week, who says there can be, and some other Achronim, who says there can be Bishul in Kli Shlishi, but normatively we wouldn't say like that. However, if you look in Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata,
looking at what the Mechaber in the Mosque, Kli Shlishi would be no problem whatsoever.
Correct. Normative halacha is to say that Kli Shlishi is not a problem.
The only difference of opinion is about the Kli Shlishi.
Correct. Our question here is, what's your soup bowl? Does your soup bowl have a din of Kli Sheni or Kli Shlishi? Yeah. So, Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata, Gentlemen. Perik Aleph Sifmen Chet says, Hamatzeket Sheba Motzim Et Ochem Kli Rishon Min Hadin Rura Min Hadin Shetiyen Nekiyavi Beisha So he says that if you're taking a clean ladle and you just put it into the soup, scoop out some soup, and pour it into your bowl. Okay, then it's got the din of then it's lichora klisheni. But once you leave it in the pan for a bit, all right, so then it's going to get a din of a kli rishon. So it might depend on how you serve the soup. Of course, if you take it out for long enough that the soup on your ladle cools down, that's a shtickel problem, because then when you put it back into the soup, then it's getting heated up again, the remainders on the ladle. Then you've got questions of whether it's dava, it's psik resha, it is true. We touched last week on something which was, just a few drops where it's inconsequential. But the long and the short of it is you don't really want to let it cool down. If you're not letting it cool down, you're keeping it hot. And generally speaking, I know from my experience, unless you've got somebody helping you with the soup, and even if you're serving lots of soup, so it's going in all the time, it's heating up, so it's probably got a din of a... That might be another tzad lahakel, but certainly not lechatchila. So let's just finish off with the croutons, the osem croutons. Yeah. Okay, so can you put them into your soup? So let's see what Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata says. Shkede marak or itriot mutuganot b'shemen hanim karok shem muchanot la'achila mutar latet otan afilu b'kli rishon imeinu omeid al gabei ha'ish ki atigun beribui shemen nechshav lebishol, because these croutons are deep fried. That's what he's saying. No, because they've had bishul already. It's true that we call them fried, but when you fry, deep fry,
is considered bishul?
It's bishul in oil. In terms of bishul, means there's two types of frying. Yeah. We talk about deep frying and shallow frying.
Yeah, exactly.
But bishul really means cooking in a liquid. So you can cook something in water, you can cook something in wine, you can cook something in milk, and you can cook something in oil. So if something is immersed in the liquid, and that's how it's cooking, then it's called bishul. It might be that, in Evelyn Rose it's called deep frying, but in...
I have a book. So take on a shallow fry, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's v'ein misal bishul achar bishul. So croutonim yesh mehem sederach hakadatam kishkedi marakan iskelael ach yesh keile sherak nefu v'lo tugnu lachen yesh ladun bahem kedavar afui kedilael sif samachet. We should just check up with Osem, I suppose, and find out how they currently process their soup croutons. A canola is not a problem at all, because kenaglichem are cooked, so it's bishul achar bishul, poshut. Kenaglich you can take your soup off the stove on Friday night, put your kenaglich in, and shalom on Yisrael. That's even into the kli rishon, because ain't bishul achar bishul. That's classic the kenaglich. That's and the lokshen as well. That's the classic croutons. That's of course which are where you've got which are toasted. Yeah, and that would be more of a problem. Okay, that's adkan.
That's salad croutons.
Salad croutons. You need to find out how they're.